Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the St. Petersburg, Florida News Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Black, and for the next 10 minutes, we'll discuss all the strife that was present at the St. Petersburg City Council meeting for December 6, 2018. But first, we'll cover the less controversial but equally saddening portion of the meeting. At least $6 million was spent during this meeting, with a little over $650,000 going towards yearly maintenance for the city's injection wells, and about $5.5 million going towards redevelopment efforts on the south side of St. Petersburg. How much more was spent wasn't quite clear, in large part because the city made no effort to assess the cost of mandating that apprentices be paid the prevailing wage on all major city construction projects. Support for that ordinance came from a construction workers union whose representative spoke about the difficulty of filling the ranks and hoped that measures like these would draw more young people into the trade. Now, from what I know about unions, now I never joined one, but I had several people try to recruit me, and I had some friends who were part of one or another. Pay is determined by experience, not productivity. I'm sure a lot of people can figure out other ways to make more money doing something easier than construction. I certainly did, especially as the minimum wage, which applies to jobs of all kinds, keeps rising. Funny, unions also historically argued for the minimum wage, which is now hurting their recruitment efforts. City also moved forward a change to the once-per-week garbage collection program, which was implemented in 1985 to help reduce the burden on single-occupant homes that don't produce the same trash that homes with more occupants do. Criteria have been expanded slowly over the years to include two-occupant homes and larger lot sizes. This proposal includes a forgiveness month for people who may have had guests over and removes the lot size limitation altogether. The city monitors water usage to determine if the homes that apply for the lower monthly rate actually qualify, with 5,000 gallons of water per month being the upper limit for what they expected to occupant household to use. Under this new proposal, if the home uses more than 5,000 gallons for three consecutive months, they go back to the higher twice per week collection rate and cannot qualify for the lower rate for 12 months. Now, if garbage collection were done by a private company in direct contact with the people and no monopoly on the service, the adjustment of rates wouldn't become an item for city council. Companies would automatically adjust for the needs of their customers in order to keep them from looking elsewhere for the same service. Obviously, the city won't consider that. Governments like monopolies, especially the ones they run. Apparently, local governments also like being busybodies. Besides monitoring your water usage, they also want to monitor your straw usage. City Council moved forward a proposed ban that would eliminate single-use plastic straws from distribution by restaurants. A full ban would not take effect for maybe 15 months, as the first 90 days would be a grace period, and then the next 9 or 12 months would be a prohibition on unrequested inclusion. In other words, restaurants would be required to wait until the guests request straws in order to distribute them. Now, I'm honestly surprised that restaurants don't already do this in general in order to control costs, but I digress. After that, guests will be expected to do without or bring their own, which is inconvenient and could be unsanitary, but don't let that get in the way of feel-good activism. Council members Montaneri and Gabbard each expressed reluctance to vote for the full ban, with Councilmember Gabbard stating she wants to review the impact on numerous restaurants, especially quick service establishment, quite a few of which are in her district. Both Montaneri and Gabbard stated that the education portion of the proposal should have heavier emphasis than the mandate. Councilmember Gerdes stated that next week at the second reading, he'll propose an analysis on the education aspect of the program before the implementation of the full ban. No amendments were approved immediately in order to respect the dubious tradition of waiting for the second reading to make amendments. During this discussion, it was also revealed that single-use plastic bags were originally slated for the same ban, that plan changed to have them taxed instead. However, there's a lot more resistance to both of those plans than plans to ban straws. Councilmember Rice stated that the plan to tax plastic bags is more difficult to implement, and she wasn't sure she had the votes on city council to advance it. Sharpest conflict came after lunch. There is a vacant lot on the southwest corner of the intersection of First Street North and Fourth Avenue, and a second developer is making an effort to build a residential structure. It should say a primarily residential structure. The first developer failed to perform his project, even though his design was much more to the liking of the next door neighbors. City Council is seemingly inclined to approve the second developer in spite of the vehement opposition. The lot isn't very large. It's large enough to build a couple houses on, but that's not the direction they're going. And the proposed development would fill it entirely, while also rising 19 stories above pedestrian traffic. That reminded some people of New York City. And these people left New York City in order to be in places like St. Petersburg. At least 20 people spoke in opposition, with more than 10 opponents being present who did not speak, while only two spoke in favor, including the attorney for the developer. There's actually a lawsuit already filed regarding this proposal, which is why they had a court stenographer during this portion of the meeting. Now, this could not become a controversy if the city did not attempt to control all kinds of development that happened downtown. Land use is simple. People buy what they think they need in order to serve the needs of the people they expect to purchase their products, whether it's housing, office space, retail space, industrial space, parking, etc. If they can't find a profitable use for the land, they'll simply wait until they can, during which time the lot will be vacant or abandoned. Unfortunately, neither the city or its residents see it that way, hence the hearings and the lawsuit. The hearing is actually being continued to next week because votes to advance the proposal have been quite close, and City Council moved to wait until all 8 members of the council could be present. And one of the last items by the council involved recurring issues with the St. Pete Housing Authority. After the order from members of council to their legal team to draft a resolution requesting that the mayor consider removing 2 members from the Housing Authority board, the board reached out to ask City Council to reconsider a committee of the whole meeting, provided that the board be given a list of relevant topics to be discussed at the meeting so that the members of the board could be prepared. The tentative date for the meeting is January 31st, 2019. Council did decide to delay its instructions to the legal team for the draft of that resolution until at least that date can be confirmed. Topics for that meeting will be hammered out by City Council members at the Public Services and Infrastructure meeting, also known as PSNI, before the City Council meeting next week. It's unclear what became of the request by the St. Pete Housing Authority for $3 million in funds from the council. That request died without a motion on November 1st, but that doesn't mean that the board has relented in its pursuit of the funds. Next week's City Council meeting starts at 3 p.m., but the PSNI meeting comes before. We'll endeavor to cover both. Don't forget to look up the consent agenda, which comes out Monday, and contact your City Council member if you have questions about what you see on that list. Thank you for listening. This has been St. Petersburg, Florida Area News, a production of the Reconstructionist Radio Network.